Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and you know what that is? Raising Expectations, your favorite show to tune in every Monday night. And we're so glad that you're here. Thanks for your correspondence during the week, and thanks for hearing those good reports on what's happening in your lives. And we've got a great guest for you tonight. And as you've been getting back to me, you're excited that she's with us, and we're going to get her just to speak to us in a great way in just a few minutes here. But we're going to begin, as we always do, because you ask us to, and I'm going to do that then. Again, you know, I'm Pastor Joe. You all know me. And everybody on this team, we're born-again believers. We believe, very simply put, that God is who he says he is, and God does what he says he'll do, and he sent his son like he said he did, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for one reason, to pay the price for our sins so that we would have a boring, defeated, tired out, miserable existence, right? Wrong. So that we would have a life that has assurance and excitement and joy, because every day he has something special just for us. When we receive his Savior, our sins are forgiven. We know where we're going. And the great thing is, we know what we're doing each and every day. He's going to bless because we follow his steps. So we're glad that you're tuning in tonight. And we raise expectations with our relationships in Jesus Christ. And we hope you know him as your Lord and Savior also. If you ever have a question, just don't hesitate to call anybody on this this team, to text them or get a hold of me. I'd be glad to talk to you. So we're going to share our team again. We always look forward to that. And we're going to begin on the West Coast. That would be my left. And if you're looking at it from the other way, you're right. Whatever it is, the West Coast, we're going to Dr. Paul Hall in Long Polk, California, which is near San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Santa Barbara.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Did I say San Jose? Yeah.
Yes, you did. But I know the way. I know the way to San Jose.
You know the way to San Jose?
Yeah, we're good.
I was just checking to see if you knew. Did my nose grow yet?
Thank you. You did good.
Just I'll order some of that Prevagen, Paul. What the heck? Let's see what's going on here. But yeah, Santa Barbara. He's right next to Santa Barbara. And
there you go.
We've been friends for 55 years, and he's a great pastor, a great counselor. He's a reader, a writer. He just helps people everywhere. So, Paul, it's good to see you, brother. Good to pull down the West Fort. And we'll keep going now together, Paul and I, all the way to the East Coast, actually the south side of the East Coast, and you find right there Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, in northern side of Georgia. And what is your famous city?
Dalton.
There we go.
Carpet Capital.
I was just checking. I knew that one. Dalton, Georgia. So right there in Dalton, Georgia, we have two of our favorite people. And if you will turn in your website right now, boy, I used to be a pastor. You can't turn in a website. You can't turn in your Bible unless you have it. But if you put on your website to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You will find on there not only the story that you'll get later about our show, but you'll also find the story of each of the great people on here. Steph Thayer, that you just met, and you're going to see there on the left, her story is on there, story about she and her husband, and she has her own website. You want to look at that. Live Your Life Out Loud. She helps ladies all over the nation live your life out loud because you know who you are in Christ. And the thing we all appreciate the way Stephanie helps ladies is she's a friend to people. They trust her. They want to hear what she has to say. And it's interesting how she helps people all over. Live Your Life Out Loud. So you got to look that up on our website and make sure you get it marked in yours and see what she's doing. There's a lot of great things there. Some of the things that she does, the insights she brings are things they all talk about. Interesting things you'll want to have to share with your friends and your family. So you want to go there, Live Your Life Out Loud. And that good looking guy on her left right there is how she has developed this incredible husband. Yeah, that's Dr. Thayer right there. And Dr. Thayer is the best surgeon you'll ever find. In fact, I've already signed up when God says, hey, Joe, it's time. I want to call him first and see what's going on. Good to see you, Thayers. How are you all doing?
We're good.
Good. Yeah, Joe, you're worth $2.2 million in parts. So.
Oh, is that right?
Got my eye on you.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that. You learn stuff all the time on this show. Yeah, that's right. That's, I'm going to remember that. That's cool. So anyway, Dr. Thayer, he's a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. He helps people and Stephanie together and on their own. He helps them as a missions doctor. He's been to Africa helping people. He's been to the Caribbean. He's just helped people all over. The guy has a heart of the Lord, just like his wife, and service is the call that he does. And God blesses people through him. He just put out his first book. It's a great book. It's on our website. And that book is called Save. And you'll want to look on the website and get your copy there, Saved, Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. And I love what he put on there, Finding God in the Ordinary. God works in the ordinary things of life. Sometimes we want him to move mountains and, you know, stop and flood the world and give us an ark to go floating in. No, he does little things too and lets you know that he's there each and every day. That's the kind of relationship he shares in here. And he's got great stories. Dr. Thayer has never been an introvert. I want to speak truth here. And so he's a guy that you couldn't relate to because he's so much fun to be around. But he also is one of my favorite godly men in the world. He walks with God, and he and his wife are, these guys all bless my life more than people I've ever known for 55 years in the pastor. And Paul's the same way. We often talk about it. What a blessing they are in our life. So moving from Dalton, Georgia, where they hold down the fort on the east, the south side of the East Coast. If you go back through Alabama, fly over that border there, hit Mississippi, make your way across Louisiana. I said that right for a northerner. And then you keep coming all the way out to Texas. You come into the west side of Texas. And our favorite pastor there in Texas, he won't be with us tonight. He's got an anniversary. That is so cool, isn't it? But that's the area director, Ron Greer. He's the pastor there. He's also with Man in the Mirror. He trains men. He's a consultant, helping men to find who they are, men who've had difficulties in their life. But all those difficulties become blessings when the Lord shines his light and they realize all these things were to make me stronger in my walk with Christ. So you're going to love getting to know Ron. He's very shy. So if next week you've never met him, you'll have to. It never goes my nose again, doesn't it, guys? It's growing again. Ron is so much fun. You're going to just actually can't wait to get texts off and let him know also he's a real blessing to you. You know, Dr. Thayer does used to be one of those guys. He has this disappearing act that is real cool. The little hat's down below and he takes this little wand down and he disappears, but he pops back too, right, Steph? It's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, real life occurs while these shows go on. You know? One of our kids thinks something is wrong with him medically, which has never...
No. I hope he's okay.
I think he's okay, but...
And I'm messing with him. He's so much
to our life.
You'll be okay. He's got the best doctor right there. He's good. So in any event, moving right along at this point, we're glad you're with us tonight, folks. And we have a very special guest. You're going to remember, many of you have said to me, yeah, we remember Laura. We're so glad that she would come be with us again. And we want to share with you tonight, as you saw this week, Laura Lester with Encore. And you may remember she has been with us and she's here tonight to share heartfelt values on hearing, loving, and helping senior adults with Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, I got the pleasure of meeting them years ago and they took me to a lunch and I got to pray with them. When they got together, she'd been praying with David, her husband, and she visualized, created, and opened a highly innovative Encore Memory Care and Day Center. In her own words, she said it's a safe and loving environment where mom and dad will enjoy a full day of activities that are both physically and mentally stimulating. She has so much to share, as you're going to see here with us, and we're going to learn more about caring. And she's another example of caring and a Christ-like respect for people and a love that touches hearts for now and eternity. She's a very special lady, as you know, and she helps precious lives to have experienced in those days when she's there with her, the joy and their worth and their value and their importance, and God's love is assured to them. You'll see their encore, her page. There's so much you'll want to look that up on the website. This is one happy group of people that quite often were not as happy until their families found Laura and David's support there. And so we're going to let her share with us tonight. It's going to be very, 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 very exciting for you. And it's going to get wonders for your prayer life if you know people that need this kind of help. I don't think there's many of us that don't know somebody who struggles, and her insight and dementia and these things is just incredible. And hope all is okay, Doc. I hope she your son's okay and everything's going good. That's good. Just said a little prayer there. So what we want to do now, Laura, because we know you're here with us, we got to talk to you ahead of time. We want to give you that world famous welcome that you get right here. It's like around the world. And you Steph, why don't you lead us in on it?
It's just a round of applause. It's
That's it. A round of
around,
applause to
and
raise
it's an applause.
That's it. Everybody likes that. I hear about it every week. Laura, thanks for coming and being with us tonight, and welcome to Raising Expectations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to see you guys again.
Yeah.
It's been a little while. It's been a minute.
It's
been a minute.
So,
Tell us about Encore. We're excited. Tell us how we started. And
We've been here. I have two centers, and I'm opening a third center in the fall in Louisville. But my first one is in Plano, and we've been in business for 15 years. And then my second one's in Bedford, and we've been in business there for 8 years. And so we want to grow. We feel like we have a really unique place. And so we want to grow in a way that's slow enough so that we still are us. So when once we have leadership that we think is it will continue to have encore what we have already created. So that's how fast we grow. I'm terrible at this. I'm
Oh, no, that's
having a
great.
hard time here.
Yeah. Terrible at this. It's okay. Just those of you that don't know, she's actually in Hawaii right now, so she's on vacation time. But anyway, we've really created a place at Encore that we would have brought our own family to. I've had dementia in my family twice, and I didn't actually start Encore. One of my husband's friends had the idea to start Encore. And he approached us as investors. And so we thought, gee, if that had been available when we needed it, we would have, definitely used it. So we became investors. And I guess, long story short, we didn't like the way he ran it. So we ended up buying him out. And I've been running it 14 out of the 15 years we've been in business. And
That's
so,
great.
and, we've matured over the years. We're very picky who we take. We want the people at Encore that are actually the hardest at home. So, the beginning to mid stages, the people that are beginning to mid stages are, they still have their own minds. They want what they want when they want it. And as the disease progresses, people become more compliant. But we love the non-compliance. That's our niche. So, and we feel like we're doing a tremendous service to the families because not only are we working with the people that come to us, we're showing them a very happy atmosphere, but we're also doing things that we feel like it hopefully will help stave off the disease because most of my guests are not making new memories. And so they still have memories in their brains that prior to the disease that they formed. And so what we do, all of our activities all day long have some element of something that happened in their lifetime. So we try to bring that top of mind as often as we can all day long. And our thought is if maybe, hopefully, they won't lose those memories as quickly as they would if they weren't thinking about them. So we do that, and we do lots of cognitive exercises, and we're very social. So we do a lot of music, and it's a very social, happy, and we try to give everybody that comes to our center a purpose. So most of our guests either think they're working there, or they think they're doing volunteer work, or they think it's the church. Whatever their reality is, it gives them a purpose, and they have a part, a real part in it. So it gives them some reason to wake up, because this disease is a very devastating diagnosis. And a lot of times their first thought is, what's my purpose? What's left for me? And so we try to give them a purpose, give them something that they can still do. And that's what we tell them. If you didn't have a purpose, then you wouldn't be here. So you're on earth for a reason. So let's enjoy our life. So, and then our goal for the people that drop their loved ones off is that they can completely relax when their loved ones are at our center.
Yes.
So
Yes.
that's
And
it. That's what we
it,
do.
I'm sure that's a really big blessing, being a caretaker is 24/7, and there's emotion attached to someone losing, their mental faculties. I can only imagine what a blessing it is to have that little bit of downtime.
Yeah, not only do we give them downtime, we get to know their loved one. And we know, we've been doing this for 15 years. We know all the dementia techniques. So we find something that works with their loved one. We can train them, and they can use it at home. So basically, we know their loved one. We train the family member so that they can have a happier time at home with their loved one. And the good thing about dementia, one of the good things about dementia is if you find a technique that works, you can use it over and over because they've forgotten you've used it before. So you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel.
No, that's great. I don't know how many people I've sent to a physical therapist, bad ankle, bad knee, bad hip, bad back. They go through a set of exercises and they never write them down. They never memorize them. So when they're at home, they can continue those things and do. They just, I think I got to do it with a trainer or whatever, right? No, you can do those at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you got a thought going there? Look at
You know,
that.
I did a little research today on dementia, and I was really pretty fascinating that when I found that 10% of the U.S. population that's 65 and older are dealing with dementia, they have dementia, and then I thought, well, what does that mean in terms of U.S. population? And they, 10% of the population is 34 million people. And how many of them are not cared for in a significant way or understood or even try, that people try to relate to them. And then another thing I found I thought was pretty curious, the United States ranks eighth in terms of deaths per 100,000 in the population. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, because it would seem like here we are as a developed nation and things like that. Why would it be eighth? And so I thought about that, and then I dug a little bit deeper, and I found that because our medical care in the United States is increasing, and people are living longer, the longer they live, the more the chance that they will develop dementia. And so I think that's a really complex issue, to deal with as we get older. Baby boomers, like me, baby boomers, as we get older, we will run into that, more often, I would imagine, in our age group. So it's really it's such a complex thing because there's so, I think, and Laura maybe you can correct me here, I think there's such a oftentimes such a misunderstanding about what's really going on with this person. And rather than meet them with passion and care and understanding, oftentimes they're met with anger and frustration, and people, they just don't want to deal with it. They want to move it away. Let's put mom in a room, close the door, and not worry about it. And I am so thankful that organizations and groups and people like yourself have answered the call of the purpose and the vision that God has given you, because it's only going to increase. One of the statistics I read, they'll suggested that dementia, and because we're able to catch it sooner, you know, we'll be able to recognize it sooner as medical community makes progress, that they are estimating that by the year 2060, dementia will have doubled in our population because of some of those factors going on. So you know, God bless you. God bless you as you meet these people, and especially their families, you know, because families get so, they're so confused about what's going on. So thank you. I just want to say that.
It's very, very difficult for the family. Sometimes I think it's more difficult for the family than it is for the person that actually has it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that just as a person that's lived it myself. You know, when my grandmother first got it, we had no idea how to deal with it. We had no dementia training. You really have to have dementia training in order to be successful. That's why it's kind of a passion of mine to train people. You know, I really want to help people, because my grandmother got really mean. And I honestly believe now, knowing what I know now, that if I had known more, or if we had as a family known more about dementia when this happened, or educated ourselves better, I think she wouldn't have gotten mean. I think that things would have gone better. You know, then when my brother got it, by the time he had it, we were more trained and it went much better. You know, we were able to use our techniques, and he had a joy, a lot of joy in his life.
So. Do you think, just ask another question, do you think that as families encounter this, that one of the dynamics that goes into play is fear that it might happen to them as well? You know,
I mean, there's so many things that go into it. And there's also a lot of denial in the beginning. You don't, and it's just a natural defense mechanism your brain creates. You don't want to believe it. It's very easy. And I know, as a person that has actually had it in my family, every time my brother, like, they have good days and bad days. And every time my brother had a lucid day, I was like, oh, misdiagnosed. He's been misdiagnosed, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And he wasn't. It's just, you really want to believe that they're just giving you a hard time, not that they're having a hard time. So it's very hard for the families. It's they're really suffering, you know.
I mean, I think you have to warn, right? Because the person you knew before is now a shell of themselves. Like, not without a mind per se, but without memory. And it's got to be, you know, it's, you mourn, you must.
It's a great grieving process for sure. It is.
Have you found this, you and maybe Doc, if you know, my mother died of Alzheimer's, and we took her down the road and all the way to the end till her heart just stopped. But she was just as gentle as a lamb. The worse it got, the quieter. It's like, they either go extremely this way or the other. Mom was just so quiet, she almost smiled, and that was it. And she never, my dad was really tough on my dad that way. But now my brother-in-law, mom was a very easygoing, very, very smart teacher and everything. But my brother-in-law was a tennis pro, top class. He was, and he had his own shop, and he was competitive. Would that be the word, Doug? He was competitive. And he fought it more than any, and he went the other way, more and more and more angry. And then it would get okay, and then it would flare till, I mean, he put a fist through the wall once. And that's, I mean, he was the most gentle guy. He's one of my deacons for years. And the Lord called him home. He's very quiet. I was holding his hand when he died. But he was calm, and I knew he was there. So are those the two base extremes, or are those kind of two tunnels that normally everybody ends up in one of them?
No, everybody's different.
Are they totally different?
There's a lot of commonality, but just like everybody is an individual,
Yeah.
everybody's disease process with Alzheimer's or any kind of dementia is a little bit different.
Yeah, we'll say when there is a difference between male and female traumatic brain injuries. So those guys and gals that get pretty dinged, or their memory's gone from the loss of consciousness, etc. They don't remember their name, and they've got a card with, "Oh, Sam," who's, "Oh, that's right, that's me." I mean, literally. But males are much more violent. And females are much more sad. I won't say whiny. I don't know the right term, but it's just a different emotional response, yeah, to being head bonked. And I'm sure it's probably somewhat true with dementia. You imagine you keep trying to remember whether it's Santa Barbara or San Jose every time. But
Exactly.
yeah. Sorry. Got him.
That's good.
I mean, how frustrating that would be. Like, my friend Ralph had a weird Parkinson's, and his speech was so slurred. And rather than frustrate him, what did you say, Ralph? I just let it be,
Yeah.
because it would
Yeah.
just piss him off, and especially Ralph.
Well, and Joe, it's funny that you say that your mom was like a lamb. My grandmother, I don't know the difference of dementia to Alzheimer's, but her progress was over 14 years, and she was also just gentle and sweet and lovely. And I mean, she eventually would forget. She eventually forgot everybody, which I think is the hardest part, but she was just lovely the whole time.
That's my mom. The same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is hard. It is harder on my grandfather, on my dad, those taking care of her, and then
Right.
realizing that those memories, all those special moments, they're just, it's like closing inside of her. It's
When
horrible.
you met Laura, Laura, see, I got it. But anyway, when I met Laura, mom had passed, but Steve was beginning. And I guess one of the things that you did so well, Laura, and maybe we could talk on that, was the a lot of places would put somebody who was struggling with that into a home. Some of those homes were good where they lived. They would, it wasn't full care yet, but it was ahead of full care, premature, I would think sometimes. But you came up with this idea that you and David did, what you had, where they were still with their family, they were still home with them when they were good, when they were feeling better, but when that sundowner effect kicked in and all these things, they could rest well because they during the day had done the things like you said, physical exercise, mental exercise, and new things they'd already done was new again. But so the family got to rest.
Yeah.
Our mothers, our dads, 70,
Yeah.
they got to rest. When they came back home for the night, it was like they had a fresh start, and you offered that by how you did
We also try to wear them out during the day. We do a lot of
that.
exercise. We really want them to sleep well at night,
Yes.
And of
Exactly what I
course,
do with my children.
there you
Yeah.
go.
Good
I
idea.
mean, it doesn't always work, but that's one of the things that we
Good
do. We
try.
exercise. The latest research says exercise is good for this disease. So we exercise 6 times a day. They don't know it. A lot of the exercise that we do is they think they're playing basketball. They think that they're doing beach volleyball. We actually do beach volleyball in chairs, but that's safe. But that's good upper arm exercise. We do noodle ball. We do a lot of exercise. We dance. We do a lot of exercising that they think is just they're having fun,
That's
So
great. Yeah, that is great.
we incorporate music. Music is really good for this disease. So we try to wear them out. Really do. And there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of joy. My guests are, it's probably the only place that you'll ever go that does what we do, where you can just feel the joy when you walk in the door and you hear the laughter. I mean, people are genuinely happy to be there. So, is they all have a purpose. They all enjoy each other's company. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see. So.
It
That
is.
kind of dovetails with what I was going to ask you, which is, throughout this process of investing to running to now almost three centers, are there some interesting ways that you've seen the Lord show up throughout that process? Like, I'd love to hear if you have any stories.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That in a way, really, we look at it this more as a ministry, I would say. And for a long time, that's really all it was because we weren't making a profit. It was like, but we went home tired and fulfilled. I mean, I've seen so many things. It's wonderful. We do a devotion every morning. And I have people, I have a lady right now in my Plano center that she was always a chaplain. And so she leads my devotion and she's got a beautiful singing voice. So she leads the hymns. And I've seen just beautiful things happen at the center. So it's, I've seen people go from angry to frightened to happy and joyful. And I feel like we've been able to help their families also. So it's probably the most, I never ever in my life thought this is what I was going to be doing for a living. This wasn't anything I planned. But what's really funny is everything I've ever done in the past has led me, like everything I've learned in the past has led me to this. And this is the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. I go home, I literally look forward to going to work on Monday morning after a weekend,
Great.
So
That's wonderful.
I love those moments when God puts you through a valley and then you get through it and you're doing what you're doing and you see, oh, now I see why he made me study this. Why this happened to me, so now I can pay it forward, yeah.
Absolutely. And so it's my absolute passion to help people because I remember how hard it was and what a struggle, It's horrible. It's a terrible, terrible struggle. And so
If you hadn't had a personal experience, do you think this is something you would have ever? So
no.
she's shaking her head no. So it's exactly what you were saying, which is in those really hard, messy, the moments you would never ask for, look at the fruit that came out of it.
It really is. So I'd like to say I wouldn't change anything, but I might. I'm happy where I am right now, But there's been a lot of pain in that. So.
I remember coming over one time to see you guys, and I walked in the hall there. You did such a great job fixing that up. I only saw the first one, but this lady came up and she stopped right in front of me and looked me right in the eyes and she said, "Is this your first time?" And I said, "No." I said, "I got to come a couple times." And she goes, "I just love this place." That's all she said. And she said, "Okay," and walked over and sat down. Right from the heart. That's right from the heart, Lord. And I always remember that. So that's another way the Lord, like Steph was saying, the Lord's saying, "Well done. This is what I did." And all the difficulties of life, sometimes God piles them all together. And he says, "I'm going to keep feeding you these as you do the great call I've got on your life." And I think that is awesome. What do
And
you
like I
think
said,
about that?
I never prepared for it on purpose.
That's the best ones. That's the best one.
I think we assume that we know what some of the factor, not factors, but some of the indicators of dementia may be. But Laura, could you kind of walk through that with us, you know, so that maybe when family members begin to see things that it might click something in their mind?
I can tell you from my 15 years of experience, there are things that mimic dementia exactly that aren't dementia. And they can be reversed. And so I always advise people to go get diagnosed if they start seeing these signs, because they may not really even have dementia. They may just have dementia symptoms that are caused by other things. So that's one thing. Only you said 10% of the population over 65. That means 90% of the people don't have it. So, I mean, it's not just a normal, you're not destined to get it just because you're getting older. I think as you age, like by the time you're 85, I think a third of the people have it. So it definitely goes up. The longer you live, the more chance you have of getting it. But still, two thirds of the people don't have it. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times what they tell me is if you're worried that you have the signs of dementia, usually you don't have it, because the people that aren't, well, they're noticing it too. They know that it's true. But, you know, forgetting your keys or just forgetting things is, and I think everybody does that. But if you do just really odd things, if you can't balance your checkbook, if you find your keys in the freezer, you know, they say, just you get in the car and you start driving to work and you end up in Kentucky, that's a good sign.
You know, that could be a problem.
It's happened.
Yeah.
But I would always encourage people that feel like they're fearful of that to go get diagnosed, because it may not be, you know. May just be normal.
Yeah.
They used to run that little thing on the Facebook, a dementia test, you know, take this test to see if you want to. I never did. I decided, oh, just surprise me, Lord. I'm not going to worry about it. Because you wonder about your family. I guess, Craig, does that have anything medically and family inheritance or anything? Or
More importantly, I think, is our new term, diabetes type 3, which is obesity or overweightness. And that fat causes an inflammatory thing with your brain, which then gives you, and if you can keep that under control, meaning lose weight, your diabetes 2 goes away or becomes more treatable, and your likelihood of dementia is much less. So I think that's where Paul, you know, this is going to double because our weight of our society is increasing every year, percentage-wise. So, yeah. But, yeah, so it's... I've read swimming actually is really good for your brain. Memory games, which why I think the ultimate memory game is doing puzzles. Because you not only have to memorize colors, but shapes and a bunch of other stuff, and then figure out in the 1,000-piece puzzle where it goes, right?
Says the guy who's...
Which I got a puzzle going upstairs.
Deeply invested in a puzzle currently.
So I may be biased.
And it's good to learn, to keep learning new things too. Yeah. But there's some medical advances, very recent medical advances that are very promising with Alzheimer's. A couple of new drugs that are injected intravenously that are showing great promise that were just approved. And so I think it gets rid of the amyloid, you know, the amyloid plaques in the brain. It actually has been proven to diminish those. So there's some hope.
Yeah. Maybe some of that's natural food too. They really seem to be stressing that as a great help. You know, the receptors, is it in the mind where there's one thing out there now that's, it's organic, but it's all it does is help you to retain things. You know, the difference between San Jose and, you know, the other one.
But there are some things I don't mind losing, but my sense of humor is not something I want to lose. I want to be able to see the brighter side of things. I told a story from the pulpit one time where a man was leaving for school. He was a professor, and his wife said, "Now, when you come back, remember, don't come to this house. Go to the one on the block behind us because we're moving today." And he says, "I know, I know, I know." So he goes to school, he teaches his class. He comes back, and he walks into this house, and it's empty. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we're moving today. I remember now. So, but I don't remember where we're going." So he walked outside, and there was a little boy in the front yard. And he said, "Excuse me, little boy," he said, "do you know the people that used to live here? And I think they moved today." And the little boy looked up and said, "Mom said you'd forget." So it's so easy. You know, Laura, I'm so glad you said that some things mimic. My mother died last November. She was 93 and was in the certain stages of dementia, but she was not the sweet lady. She went on the other side of the spectrum, and it was really, really difficult. She was in a care facility for some other reasons as well, but it was very, very difficult for everyone around her. She would get into a sing song, "Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me," and it would go on and on. And the nurses would just be, they were so sweet in this facility, but I know it taxed every nerve in their bodies, you know, to take care of her. And it was a difficult thing to watch her. I spent a month back there with my dad and my mom, and it was really hard to watch her. And and I think in the midst of that, you just learn you got to love them where they are, and come alongside them the best that you possibly can. And I think that you know, I would watch the other people who live in the facility, and they would play the paper plates and the cymbals and do all those kind of things. But my mother was not a participator. It was really difficult to get her out of her room to do that. So I have a lot of compassion for people who go through the dark side, because it's so injurious, you know, across the board. And it develops an attitude of distance. And that's so sad, you know, so sad to see. So once again, thanks for what you do.
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take just a second. Excuse me, my phone fell over and just doing that. Paul had quite a journey with his mom and then his dad too, all within what, Paul, 3 months or 2 months?
Yep. Yeah, well, they died 3 months apart. Yeah.
Wow.
And he nursed it all the way through. Yeah. Excuse me, Laura. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I'm sorry. That's hard.
Well, you know, the Lord was gracious. He was 96. She was 93. And that's a great thing, you know, to celebrate. But it was very difficult, very difficult to watch my mom go through that. Dad, he didn't have any of those symptoms, but mom did. But God's gracious. He was there all the time. Yeah.
Right. Amen. Well, you know, we were looking at all this and thinking about this. Stephanie, do you think you could give us a spot right now? I just almost forgot our time, but I was looking and my phone came on and started making noise right over Paul. It's a new phone and I don't know which button does what practically. Sorry, Paul. So
sometimes it has a mind of its own. Yes, I can share. So if you head on over to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, that's sort of the landing page for this show, and you can find out all the possible information you want. You can listen live, you can find prior shows, you can listen to other shows that BBS Radio has. They're fantastic. There you can search by people that we have hosted, if there's you know, someone specifically you'd like to listen to. There's ways to connect with each of us, learn about each of us. There is Pastor Joe and my husband's book that you can connect with. So all kinds of good information on there. And then at the top, we have a few different ways that you can donate. And we do appreciate that. It takes money to be on the air, to get out to people. We're very fortunate with the number of people that join every week. We're so grateful for our listeners. So whether it's one of those donation ways or it's sharing this show with a friend, that goes a long way. You never know how that might bless someone. Like tonight is a perfect example. You probably know someone that's impacted by dementia or Alzheimer's. So we appreciate you sharing and considering us in your monthly donations. And then I actually have a question for you, Laura. So not everyone is fortunate to live in the proximity of where you have services, right? So what would you recommend? Just kind of a couple good nuggets for families that are just starting into this journey themselves and they don't know if there's resources around or where would you have them start?
I would start once they're diagnosed. I would start with positioning yourself as their advocate. Okay. A lot of times when someone becomes this, gets this diagnosis, their family members take it upon themselves to, okay, now I'm going to make all your decisions for you and I'm going to start telling you what to do. Well, unfortunately, most of the people that get this disease are really brilliant people, and they've had a really very good life and are very successful and accomplished. And so all of a sudden their family members start telling them, this is what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. Well, they get offended by that. So your best strategy as a family member is to just convince them that you're on their side, that you're their advocate, and you want what they want. And whatever it is that they say they want, you very confidently say, I'm going to make that happen for you. Whatever it is. And if you do that, that gives them comfort because they're aware of their deficit. Most of them are aware of their deficit. And they know that they're vulnerable and they know that they can't handle things themselves. So if you position yourself as someone that will handle these things for them in a confident way, they can tell you what their fears are and you can confidently say, okay, I got this. Don't worry about that anymore.
Amen.
Then they won't. You know, it'll be very comforting to them. So I would say that is your very first thing is be their advocate, and treat them as who they are, not as like a child. You treat them who they are. If they're your parent, you treat them like your parent because they still want to be your parent, even though they're vulnerable. They still want to be your parent. They don't want you to be their parent. So, and that's where a lot of the strife comes in. And I would say, pray, you know, have a, you know, be on your knees every day because God will help you. God will be there for you.
Amen. Good question, Steph. Good one, yeah. Anybody else? You guys want to have another question? We got a couple of minutes here. We're
I
still.
just want to thank Laura for what she's doing.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
She's super
I
cool.
really, it's my joy, actually. It's my joy.
Right. I mean, I sense there's a difference between people who serve thinking they get to bank the service in heaven, and there's those people that serve because it's from their heart, and you're one of those.
Yeah, I for sure, because I wouldn't be in business now if it was for the money, I promise. The labor of love.
That's right.
It is, but it's like, as I said, it's very fulfilling, you know. And it's fulfilling for my staff too. I try to hire people that have had this in their family also, because I can train them. After 15 years, we can train them anything they need to know about dementia. We can't teach them empathy. So we want them to know what kind of service that they're providing these family members. So in my ad, when I hire people, I put it is a plus if you have had someone in your family or love someone who's had dementia, because that's who I try to hire. If it, I can train them from scratch. And I try not to hire people that have worked anywhere else because we have our own way of doing things.
Yes.
And we don't want to untrain. We don't want to untrain anybody. We want to just train them from scratch, the way
Amen.
we do it.
This
Yeah,
is
isn't that
absolutely.
funny? There is some value in having someone that's green, right? Because people come with their own plan, and it just sounds like what you do is such a joy-filled, unique, beautiful way to handle these folks, and I hope that catches like wildfire. I hope that there are others in other communities that reach out to you and say, we want to do this and we know you're doing it well, because I think it is important to honor our elders, right? These are all people that we have loved, that have had beautiful lives, and it's just a beautiful thing to do for people.
Amen, Steph. Amen.
I'm
That's it.
hoping someday to maybe have a school and train people, that trains people on begin, how to be successful with the beginning couple of stages of this disease.
I see that. I think there's such a need for it, and where do people go that don't have that? And even just to get basics.
That's important. That's
Your next
really.
ministry. You have another one.
Yeah.
Here you go. There's another one.
What's the saying? You want to be fishermen of people, but the reality is on like your this mission trip that you're on, it's you want to be catching people to become fishermen of people.
Yes, take it with
Teach
them
them to do the same thing you do.
to building fishermen.
Multiply your
Oh, you
kindness.
see, she's interested.
There you go. That's right. Well, Lori, it's really, really is a blessing and a pleasure to have you on the show. And because of your work, like we've all shared, thanks for what you do. God bless you and David. And let's get another update before the summer's over on how it's going in Louisville. And just before we go, how can we've got like 30 seconds. How can we pray for you? Just a simple prayer. What do you think that we can all remember?
Well, I don't know. Just we've been so blessed. I'm just grateful. I don't know. I'm just grateful for all the blessings that God's given us. So,
Amen. That's great.
and all the people, just
And all
send
the
more
people.
people, that we
Yes.
can help. We want to help as many as we can.
And they
So.
love you. I know I met John Wayne there in person. It was great.
Did
Yes, I did. It was wonderful. The next time he came right up and said hi to me again, I said, well, we got something in common. Hey, how about doing a brief prayer for us for Laura? And that would be great. Just ask God to bless what she's doing. Thanks.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for bringing Laura, Lord, and for using her deep valleys, Lord, to build strength in her, to train her, to allow her to God into the community and bless others with the things that she knows, Lord. I just ask for a hedge of protection around her and her ministry, her business, all of the employees, the amazing members that come to be loved on, Lord. Just give them strength and give them joy and prosperity. I ask that you just give Laura extra energy, Lord, to do your will. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Laura. And give David a hug for us. And sometime you want to bring him on with you, that'd be great. Let him have the tree now. He can come down now that we're all done there. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you hear and remember what you heard tonight. It's from our hearts, from Laura's heart to you. God bless you. God keep you. It's Monday, so you got 4 more days in the week to watch what God's going to do in your life. We love you and appreciate you. We never take you for granted. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Tell a friend, and let's continue to go for God in all that He leads us in doing. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye bye.
Right, thanks, Laura.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Laura.
Yeah.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week,
become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.